This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bobby Carpenter coming up in 20 minutes. We've also got the not list. You guys know earlier this week we started the not a chance in hell list of players for the Browns head coaching job. As of right now, Browns have not done that. We have not got somebody from the not list on the Browns coaching list. In fairness, we've only got like five names so far.
Yeah, we couldn't agree on a few of them. We couldn't agree on Kingsbury.
I mean, future Ravens head coach Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah. You want that. I don't blame
I want
you for wanting that.
So bad.
I want that. Even though he didn't make my not list, I still want.
Who would you rather, Nagy or Kingsbury, as like the worst option for the Ravens head coach?
I like that you've just circled in that anything but Nagy is going to be something that you want in life. And then yesterday, off the air, I made this big pitch to Jeff Phelps. I'm like, you know what? He did have Mitch Trubisky in a playoff game. That is an accomplishment in life, is it not, at this point? Matt Nagy's not good at this.
No, he's not good at this.
So I'd rather have Matt Nagy, because I think I know what you're getting with Matt Nagy, whereas Cliff Kingsbury, I think he's a little bit of a wild card for me. But he's another one of those guys. Like I mentioned, why I didn't think Stefanski would work there, because I think Lamar Jackson would just run all over him as far as everything locker room-wise and everything else. Kingsbury failed because the same thing happened with Jonathan Gannon, happened with Kingsbury. They didn't know what to do with Kyler Murray. Like Kingsbury was
Kingsbury had him healthy.
Well, and he was the architect of, let's put in the clause that you have to stay X amount of hours in the building. Like, that was his dreamed up idea on how to fix Kyler Murray. It didn't work, but that was his dreamed up. I just don't think he knows how to do anything with that.
So with the Mike McDaniel news earlier today, I did put together a hypothetical Mike McDaniel coaching staff. Mike McDaniel,
okay, good.
Frank Smith, Jim Schwartz is DC, and then anyone but Bubba Ventrone as special teams coach, or Bebe, as I was about to say. And I asked people to grade this potential coaching staff for the Browns. I'm a little surprised here. 215 votes in.
Okay.
38% saying B. 30% saying C. 20% saying fail, including our guy Roberto Shenanigans.
Roberto gave you a fail grade?
Yeah, not just a fail grade, but he voted on it and then commented fail.
So he just doesn't want to do anything with McDaniels.
Says idea. He's not a leader of men.
So that's going to be the rap that he gets, right?
Yeah.
Can we agree on that? That's
yes,
going to be
100%.
Like the thing that everyone's going to go after, and the thing that people are going to try to get at is that. And so where I think it's going to be kind is that these things didn't start to materialize until your pen snapping broke me in two, by the way.
It did.
It completely broke me.
I didn't mean to, but I'm just so strong, guys.
That big pen never stood a chance.
I was just sitting here. I was fidgeting a little bit, listening actively, and then just hawked out on a pen.
What do you like about Frank Smith?
No. I like that he's McDaniel's OC.
You're taking the crew and going with it.
Well, actually, I like the fact that he's the run game coordinator to McDaniel's pass game coordinator, and that's one of the things they do incredibly well.
Yeah. All right. I didn't know if there was anything more than just the McDaniel connection, and that was it.
And
he's just going to take
Frank.
His guy.
And his name's Frank.
Well, I wonder if you lost people there, because remember, if we're playing,
I like to be Frank.
If we're playing, there we go. If we're playing coaching staff dream list or whatever you think is going to happen, remember how the internet plays this game. It's the most unrealistic offensive coordinator that should probably be a head coach gets the call. So like what people wanted to hear was that it's Mike McDaniel as the head coach.
Matt LaFleur is the OC. Sean McDermott
is
the DC.
Robert Saleh is the DC. Yeah, one of them, you know.
Harbaugh is the special teams coach.
You know, like somebody like that, and that's just like some dream staff that gets to happen. But,
true.
Neither here nor there, so I'm sorry you got to be great.
That's fine. B's fine. B is passing. We sailed through high school and most of college with B's until the F's came. But it was bees
until that
for a minute there a real minute and a half maybe. When,
did you ever have a semester at Bowling Green where you just like didn't show up at all? Is that the idea?
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. Yeah,
that's not even your fault. That I mean, it's your fault for not showing
totally
up.
Totally my fault.
But like the idea of like it's not a true F then. It's not like you tried and then got Fs. Yeah. You just didn't go.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you just didn't do the work and didn't go.
Shirked all responsibility on the matter.
Now, I don't know what you thought was going to happen.
Oh, no, I knew. Yeah, yeah.
So you know as you're going, you're
the
like
money
you're paying
stuff just
all this,
stressed me out. That's exactly what happened.
You're paying all this money. You're there, but you're just like
taking out loans.
You're still paying it. In fact, you're paying it more than
it's actually paid off, believe it or not. Yeah, we're actually good there.
Well, no, you paid off now, but you're still you're at the time you're paying all this money, and then it's just like we're just not showing up.
It's the money stuff that just got in my head. It was just it was a lot of stress. It was a lot of stress. A lot of like last minute making sure that I can actually I'll be allowed in class because of the money situation because we didn't have a lot of money.
I've always thought about that. My brother went to KU and he made it out and everything was fine, but like there was a semester there that he just didn't do any of it. Right? Like it just didn't do a thing.
Well, here's the thing.
And I was like, well, what was going through your mind on like a Tuesday as you just weren't doing class?
And here's the thing. I really had an interest in higher education. It was just boozing and chasing was a little bit more fun. You know?
At least it sounds like we were doing things then.
I've told Vanessa, I think if Vanessa and I had found each other, first thing when we both got to college, she went to college 2 years earlier. I got a cougar, whatever. but I've always said that if I had found her, I think I would have graduated because I just needed that gravity.
Yeah.
I had no gravity. I had parents who were like, whatever you want to do. And what I wanted to do was booze a lot.
Was booze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also theater.
Understandable.
Theater and, you know, I'd sneak into football practices because I really liked watching Greg Brandon's teams. I didn't sneak into it. I just walk in and watch it. And I'd like be on my way to class and it'd be like a practice and I'd be like, ooh, piece of candy.
Nobody ever said anything there?
No. No. I didn't know him.
Like you mess around, you could end up getting become the passing game coordinator in like three practices.
I realize how I failed is Matt Campbell was there at the time.
Yeah.
I could be part of the Matt Campbell Love Fest that goes on at the station.
There we go.
Because I had a conversation or two, and then it was like, I genuinely was like, well, I don't need to keep talking to people, and I just went back up and watched the thing. So, yeah.
Mm.
Simpler times. And booze. Cannot underrate.
A lot of booze.
A lot of loneliness.
Ken asked Matt Campbell, he's like, do you ever remember anyone at BGSU just coming up to you and just having convo? He's like, yeah, this drunk dude.
This
drunk dude would just constantly
come on up. And, I didn't go there drunk.
I assumed you were half in the bag.
No.
You're not going to class. What else are we doing?
No, I didn't start drinking till Tuesday.
Okay? Oh, I figured it was a day drinking event. It was just an all day, everyday thing.
I was a very responsible, irresponsible human being. Now,
there we are.
Are the Browns protecting themselves? Well, Mary Kay Cabot was on with the Morning Boys today and talked about whether John Harbaugh, rather, is going to be interviewed for the Browns.
I know the Browns really like John Harbaugh, but the thing that happens in a situation like this, if you get an idea that a candidate might have something hot going in another city, you don't want to be turned down by a lot of people. So if you think that, let's say, he's going to get the Giants job, and it seems pretty clear that that's going to happen, then you're not going to interview him. So as of right now, I don't know if they're going to, I'm sure they called. I'm sure they're one of the teams that called, but I don't know if they will actually go through with an interview because you work the back channels and you find out if a coach actually, you know, would consider your situation or whatever the case may be, or you would consider him. You walk through all that, you talk through all of that, and then you decide if you're going to actually throw him onto the list. And right now, I do not know if he's on the list.
So obviously, this is still pretty early in the process. Harbaugh just got fired. But let's say a week down the road, we get a report or multiple reports that the Browns wanted to interview Harbaugh, but they weren't sure he would take it. And so they kind of basically just, they didn't want to get themselves embarrassed by getting turned down by Harbaugh. Would you view that as a valid thing that happened, or do you think that that might be an excuse?
Coward play. Yeah, no. Are you back in college, afraid to ask a girl out? What's going on here? You're embarrassed they're going to turn you down?
Looking right through my soul when saying that.
Embarrassed they're going to turn you down? What are we doing here? Like, if anything, you got to show up and you got to roll out the red carpet. You got to make sure that he knows. It's not just going to be any normal interview. We're going to try to wine and dine you, and we're going to leave that blank check at the end of the table. Like, this is the group that got turned down by Deshaun Watson and refused to take that as a no. They're not going to just... oh, Harbaugh said no, we're done. No. I got more confidence in this group based off of the Deshaun Watson happenings that they're gonna be resolved.
Do the Browns think the media? Do the Browns think that the media sabotages these coaches? Because the only reason that I can think that they wouldn't want to do this is when Mike Pettine was struggling in 2015, a lot of people mentioned he was like the sixth candidate for the head coaching job. Or is this just maybe Andrew Berry's heard Jimmy Haslam talk one too many times about how Joe Banner couldn't close with Chip Kelly and Ken Wisenhunt, and that really was curtains for... Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, there is no shame in pushing really hard for something mm-hmm. and then not succeeding at it, because in the end, you're still running your coaching search. I would not put it past the Browns to actually not be into Harbaugh, given the fact that he's 63 years old. I would just respect you more if you were just like, I'm not interested in John Harbaugh because of his age.
We might have like an age requirement for this hiring.
Yeah, I think they like young coaches. I think
so. We're taking Schwartz off the board then.
I think that's probably fair. Like, I think Jim is a long shot to actually get the job. So yeah, I could understand if they're like, our idea is a younger head coach, or at least younger than 63. And quite frankly, maybe we don't think he was a big reason why they succeeded. I think they would be bat bleep insane to think.
Yeah, I think it's a dumb way of thinking.
But I would rather hear he wasn't one of our priorities. Like, we just didn't want. I'd rather hear that than we didn't want to get embarrassed.
Well, Andrew Berry is of the belief. I mean, he all these guys, they all think to themselves, they like offensive guys and they like young. That's like I brought up with LaFleur earlier on the NFC side of the bracket. He's the oldest coach in the NFC playoffs at 46 years old. Like, it is skewing more young than it's skewing old. It has been for a very long time. But I'm not letting age stand in the way with Harbaugh at all. Like, if you get him at 63, and he tells you, I'm only doing 7 years. At 70, I'm done and I'm out. No questions asked. Like, okay. All right. We'll live with that.
We'll
cross that bridge when you get to 70, if that's what you want to do then. I also think a Harbaugh doesn't know how to quit football in general anyway.
It's true. Jack would be the head coach if you gave him an interview.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to be 90.
I think he's probably upset Harbaugh doesn't make him the passing game coordinator in either Harbaugh.
Who's got
Jim
it better
or
than
John.
Us?
Nobody.
I'll start saying that bleep too. On top of converting to Catholicism.
If John comes, we can make it a daily chant if you want.
Yep. Bobby Carpenter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 The Fan in Columbus.
I was going to ask everyone if you wanted to do the chant, and then I realized how that was going to go.
No.
That was going to be Fanta naming a movie all over again.
No.
That was going to be me doing,
make you...
No! Oh, no, nobody's here.
Right,
nobody,
no.
Nobody,
no.
Nobody's here. Oh,
let's,
no.
No, let's do this, because this is for
Harbaugh.
No. I promise you, this is an avowed promise on the
happening.
Show.
Okay.
I'll lead it. Ready?
All right.
Who's got it better than us? Nobody!
I didn't buy into you. I didn't believe you for a second. All right, we're real this time.
No. No. Like the Browns,
oh, yeah.
I'm now afraid of putting
Brown
myself
with the,
out
I'm
there.
I'm Charlie Brown with the football all the time on this show, and all of a sudden, that's going to be the one that breaks it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believed you with Fanta.
Fanta Brothers.
I believed you with Fanta. This is where this crossed.
Fanta Brothers. Watch it sometimes. Bobby Carpenter, 97.1 The Fan in Columbus in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Ready for some...
I'm near the end of the show there, but... Matt Patricia getting a contract extension at Ohio State. There'd been some NFL fear there from Ohio State after Chip Kelly bounced after 1 year last year. We've also got Arvel Reese going to the NFL. Caleb Downs going to the NFL. I want to say about 17 Buckeyes in the transfer portal over the last week or so to talk all things here. Maybe a Browns question or two thrown in there. We head out to the Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline. Welcome on of 97.1 The Fan, Buckeye legend, former NFL linebacker Bobby Carpenter joining us now. Bobby, welcome back to the show.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on. Lots going on in this
NFL or college football offseason is even more fun than NFL free agency.
It is. Well, it's pretty hectic. The DeMond Williams stuff. I know. We brought you on to talk about Ohio State stuff. You're in an interesting position, having been a pro athlete, played at Ohio State, all this other stuff. How do you feel about the Washington quarterback going into the portal, despite Washington saying it has a legally binding and a NIL contract with him?
Well, this is the problem now. It's like in the NFL, that would never happen because you sign a contract, like you have to live up to that. Now, how enforceable are these contracts in court? That's the problem. But as per my understanding, the people I've talked to about this, him and Jed Fish had the same agent, and they negotiated him. I think it's to the tune of, like, guys, it wasn't a small sum of money. I think it was like $4 million that he was going to get from Washington to play there as part of the revenue share package. He signed the deal. His agent signed off on it. He signed the deal. And then after signing it, he was basically ghosting his agent, ghosting the Washington Huskies and Jed Fish. And then it's like, hey, he's not even in the portal. He's just like, I'm going to leave and go somewhere else. Like, that contract doesn't apply to me. And the sad thing is, like, you know, college is supposed to teach some people things. Like, when you sign your name on a piece of paper in the United States and it's a legally binding document, like, that's got to mean something. And there's got to be repercussions for this. And I'm not a fan of this. So he fires his agent. And then his dad goes and, like, negotiates the deal with LSU. I'm like, what in the heck are we doing here? Like, that's not how the real world works, man.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right, Bobby. Let me ask you, what has been the fallout with Ohio State and the loss? I know you've had a week and a half to process it, but in Columbus, what is the resounding thought?
People are upset. Like, what's amazing is coming into the season after you lose 8 starters on a national championship defense, you lose your quarterback, you lose 2 running backs, one of whom is playing for the Browns, another's room for playing for the Patriots, both very good players. You lose a wide receiver who is playing really well for the Tampa Bay Bucks. And all of those things, you're thinking, okay. Like, I think people this year are like, all right, maybe a little bit of a reset year. Just beat Michigan. And I listen to all these people tell me, that's all. That championship doesn't even matter. You just got to beat Michigan. Like, all right, well, you beat Michigan this year. Now everybody is sitting there saying, well, that doesn't matter. This team, you know, didn't accomplish anything. I'm like, well, they beat Michigan. They went 12-2. They lost to Indiana by a freaking sub 30-yard field goal that you have to be able to make. And so I'm not putting that on Ryan Day. And maybe there's some other coaching stuff that could have potentially changed in that game. But, you know, then you lose to a Miami team that you get off to a slow start, battle back, you get a pick six, you're running the ball well in the second half, and you just kind of run out of gas. And, I mean, that's the way college football is. And that's a really good Miami team. So, I mean, there's a lot of people that are really upset about it. I think people would chill. The bigger issue right now is everybody's just panicked and paranoid about, you know, the departures, because this has never been something that Ohio State's had to deal with before. Guys have always stayed, but in this world, like, it's like the NFL. You can't pay your fourth receiver or fourth or fifth corner number one position money, and someone else can. And the Ohio State, as much as people think that it's like a bottomless pit of dollars, it's not. Like, there's no billionaire that all they want to do is bankroll Ohio State football. And so, like, they've got a good amount of cash, and they're very competitive, but this isn't an endless stream that they can just go to.
Bobby Carpenter of 97.1 The Fan in Columbus with Nick and JP here talking the latest with Ohio State. Arvel Reese goes into the NFL draft today. Caleb Downs earlier this week. Carnell Tate as well. It's fascinating because Reese and Downs are such elite-level players, but, well, it's a coverage linebacker, and it's a safety. If you had to guess who today, and I know it's early, who do you think's the first Buckeye off the board in April?
I would probably say Arvel Reese, just because of the position value that he brings. He's 6'4", he's 245, he's long, he can run, he can play off the ball, he can rush the passer. Like, he's an impact player on the edge, and you can also play him off the ball. So, like, he's got position flexibility. He's an impact, dynamic guy. Caleb Downs is really good. I mean, he's going to be a steady and solid player, you know, for a long time. One of the smartest guys I've been around. Sure tackler. Checks all the boxes for you at safety. But as far as, like, an ultra-dynamic player, it's Arvel Reese. And, like, the irony is, like, if people are upset, like, we're losing Arvel Reese. I'm like, well, yeah, nobody anticipated. Like, I thought he would be good. I didn't know he'd be that good that fast. And so, yeah, so now he's going to be on his way out as well.
What do you make of the latest with Matt Patricia? And obviously he had some NFL interest, or at least perceived NFL interest, but it seems like he's going to be able to stay.
Yeah, I know Matt pretty well. I played for him in New England. Matt Patricia is a hell of a football coach, as everybody saw. I know there was NFL interest. I mean, there's a lot of jobs. He's got a lot of connections. And after people watched what he did this year, it's like, oh, they forgot. Everybody just kind of held over his head that he couldn't be an offensive coordinator. And maybe what happened with Philadelphia, where things got a little sideways, or maybe his head coaching situation in Detroit. And they forget the fact that he was in New England for 20 years and really damn good. He's incredibly intelligent. And the biggest thing is he relates really well to players. And so I know Ohio State was ultra aggressive in trying to re-sign him. And I'm happy. I know Matt. I like Matt. He lives down the street from me. I've been lobbying to keep him here with him. I was like, you can't leave. I want you to be my alma mater. Because, I mean, they're legitimate offers that were going to be coming. And so they need to get him wrapped up. I'm happy he's signing it. I'm happy he's staying and going to be here with the Buckeyes for at least another year, and hopefully for the foreseeable future.
All right, Bobby, where do they go at OC? What's your best guess?
You know, one of the things that they talked about here is, like, it depends on who's out there. You know, and, like, I go back to dollars. Like, you know, you just paid Matt Patricia probably the highest amount of any coordinator in the history of Ohio State. I think he's worth every penny. You know, then becomes a question like, well, how much do you have left to pay an offensive coordinator? Who is that guy? What's his relationship like with Ryan Day? How does he fit? I'm not sure. They've talked about, you know, staying just internally and working it that way. You know, people have thrown out like Brian Daboll. I don't know that that's a realistic possibility. A lot of it's going to depend on who becomes available in the NFL and how that hiring cycle ultimately shakes out here over the next couple of weeks.
Miami Ole Miss tonight, and obviously everyone's going to be talking about Lane Kiffin throughout this game. It's a weird thing. The game itself should be the story, but Lane's always going to be a part of it. Is Lane done enough? Is he like a villain of college football at this point, or are we not there yet?
Oh, what do you mean are we not there yet, Coach? Like, he's Dr. Doom signed up for the Avengers.
I just didn't know. I didn't know if he'd won enough to be considered a villain yet.
But everybody knows him. You look at the programs that he's coached, and, you know, how the prominent programs and how he's handled situations, you know, when he left and what he said and all of those different things. I would have to say that he has done enough to qualify as a villain at this point. And, like, part of it goes back to the fact that he said, hey, you know, my guys, they can, you know, I wanted to coach Ole Miss. I wanted to be there with them. Well, you wanted to be there with them so much that now you won't let your assistants stay. So don't tell me that you wanted to be there with them. The reality is, and people have said this, I've talked a lot, I go, I don't think he didn't believe they could beat Georgia. And so then when they did, mm-hmm. It's like, well, crap, now I can't look like the good guy and play, you know, play the card of, oh, I love the Rebs. I love the players. Like, I don't want to leave them high and dry. Well, dude, like, he's a self-serving guy. I was hoping that he had changed. You know, he's a heck of a football coach. He does a good job with that. But to say that, you know, he's the villain, absolutely.
I think that's also good for college football, by the way. I think college football needs its villains. And I think it being coaches, which is what it typically is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have somebody you can hate. And Lane is definitely a hateable guy. And now, you know, he left Ole Miss. He's at LSU now. And they're going to have a lot of talent. He's going to probably be pretty good there. And so, you know, when teams are good, like, they're much easier to hate. So yeah, I think that there'll be plenty of hate that'll be able to be tossed Lane Kiffin's way here for the foreseeable future.
All right, Bobby, we've got about 45 seconds. What's your national championship game, and who, in fact, is your national champion this year?
I like Indiana. I think they're the best team in college football. They may not be the flashiest, but their coach is really good. They're incredibly disciplined. They don't make mistakes. They play really fast and hard. They've got a really good signal caller in Mendoza. And then on the other side of that, I mean, I think this Ole Miss team gets it done tonight. Miami's D-line is really good, but they're not very deep. And if they can keep Lacey on the field, pound the football, you can wear them down. Chambliss can run around enough to make some plays. And ultimately, I think Indiana wins the national championship.
Bobby, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you. And we'll catch up down the line as we get closer to the draft.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Bobby Carpenter, 97.1 The Fan in Columbus, former Ohio State linebacker, former NFL linebacker on the Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline. Great stuff with Bobby there. We'll react, and we do have an update on the Browns and Mike McDaniel in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.